Hey, Freedom Fighters, welcome into the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Clayton Morris, and this is the show where we talk about financial freedom and passive income. And the vehicle that we use, Natalie and I have used, is residential real estate. That's what we've bought, we've held, and it's cash flowed for many years for us, and it's provided us through ups and downs in our life the passive income to say, I don't have to work for a 9-to-5. I don't have to work for a boss anymore. You want me to come in at 8 in the morning on a Saturday morning? No, that's not going to happen. I'm not doing that anymore. So we focus on real estate as our vehicle to get there, but there's so many different ways to get to passive income and build financial freedom. And we've had a whole host of experts here on the show walking through their different tactics and strategies. But today we're going to kind of take a 30,000-foot view of passive income with an expert herself. Wendy Patton is recognized worldwide as one of the most inspiring speakers on little or no money down real estate investing. Her real estate savvy, she has great depth of experience and viable knowledge. She's helped orchestrate the most complete, big programs that she's worked on, which is a lease option and subject to programs. That's high level ninja real estate. When you get into lease options and subject to and contract for deeds and all of that stuff, she's an expert in all of that. But you know, the focus for her has been passive income. So building multiple streams of income. And how has she done it? She's owned real estate offices in 3 states, had a title and insurance company in Michigan, and she's a licensed builder in Michigan as well. Wendy has extensive experience in lease options, subject tos, land development, property management, rehabs, foreclosures, new construction, pre-construction, and construction that's maybe in somebody's brain somewhere. She's an expert in all of it. Wendy, welcome to the show. You've got quite a resume.
Well, Clayton, thank you for having me. Yeah, that's what happens when you've been in the business a long time, right?
Right.
It builds up over time. But I'm really glad to be here and chat with you about these different topics.
Well, it's a thrill to have you, and it's a thrill to dive deep into some of this stuff. And you know, you've obviously done a lot in this business, and you know, it's an exciting time in real estate right now because we're seeing some real shifts in the marketplace right now. There's such a demand for residential properties. We're seeing, gosh, I mean, read the headlines. There's such a demand. There's such a demand for new construction right now, and builders can't even keep up with the demand. You're seeing warehouses being built all over the country to service people getting boxes from Amazon and other things delivered right to their door. And interest rates kind of hovering. They're not going up too high, and it's still hard to get a mortgage. So people want to talk about a bubble and all those different things. I don't really see it. But man, it's just an exciting time right now. So what has you excited about real estate right now in 2018?
Well, gosh, I love every aspect of real estate. And this year is the first year that I've ever really focused on real estate sales, which would probably surprise you. Because my background is all investing, and right. And I love it. I've got a couple of partners that we have teamed up together, 3 of us, and we are going after a kind of a luxury market. So it's a total different business.
Right. And you know, talk about the luxury market for a second. You know, we always hear that, right? That like high-end art and luxury properties, vacation rentals, and that are really expensive. In any kind of an economic downturn, those seem to do very well.
Yeah. But they're always the ones that, you know, that you have, it's a lot more about marketing with those types of property and understanding how to find and attract that right buyer. Because when the market does go down though, there's great opportunity in those, but there's also, they're the first ones to be hit, right? So when we see that luxury market slowing down, we know the rest of the market's going to be affected as well. And it is slower right now. The luxury market in general, at least where I live in the Metro Detroit area, and it is a little bit slower now. Now, there are some that are flying off the shelves if they're priced right, but it's a little bit slower than the 300, like in my market, you know, the average price points around my office is about, you know, $220,000, and anything below 400 is flying off the shelves. Like crazy, you know, bidding those.
What about the more expensive stuff? Because I always heard like, you know, the really expensive stuff, like sort of the large yacht crowd, you know, like that stuff is never really affected by the moods of the market. It's just like that stuff stays consistent because that's just in a whole other stratosphere, I guess.
I'm not in that stratosphere yet. Okay, Clayton. But I'll get to that.
Right.
You know, that would be the goal, right? To get to that. You're right. Because you think about it, people with a lot of money, it doesn't really matter what's 5 million, 10 million to them is, it's not a big, I mean, you know, 5-6 million is not going to be a difference, right?
Yeah.
So, and if they want to buy the house, they're going to buy it. It's not going to be an issue.
So would you say this market right now, because you've written a book on this too, how to make hard cash in a soft real estate market. This is not a, would you say this is a soft real estate market or pretty strong real estate market?
Strong. Yeah. You know, it's strong. And of course, you know, you were saying something about maybe we're not in a bubble. I don't know, you know, a bubble, not like we were before, but you know, we may be kind of approaching that top of the market and maybe there will be some pullback, but and so I don't think it's going to be this year, maybe not next year either. So yeah. I think there's a great opportunity.
And of course, it's all local, right? Because, yes. You know, maybe San Francisco, you could say that looks like it's in a bubble based on what's happening in the tech sector. Maybe not in Michigan, right? Or maybe not in, you know, Pennsylvania, but maybe, you know, California. So right. I don't know, maybe the bubbles this time are a lot different than they were in 2006 and 2007. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I agree with you. Yeah. I think there will be, it won't be anything like that. I kind of wish it was because that was, you know, a down market is when you make most of your money, right? That's, to me, at least that's where we slam dunked it and bought hundreds and hundreds of homes when they were, you know, $15,000-$20,000.
Wow.
You know, my market that have come back to well over 100.
Yeah. Some of the first stuff I bought in Michigan, you know, that I, cause I love Michigan and, you know, buying it in the 30, you know, buying it in the 20s and putting 25 into it. And now mm-hmm. it's worth 80, 90, you know, love it. Yeah. So let's go back. Let's rewind a little bit before we talk more specifically about passive income and what that means to you. How did you first get started in real estate investing? What was the spark that lit the fire?
Well, actually, I'm from Colorado. So when I graduated from college, I ended up getting this job in Detroit, Michigan. And right before I left, my mother had actually bought a real estate course. And when she bought this real estate course, she came home and showed it to my dad. And my dad said, no, you know, we're not going to invest in real estate. That's not the path I want to go down. My dad's a real conservative military guy. And so my mother said, would you take this course, Wendy, and do something with it for me? And so that's what I did. I took this course and on the way to Michigan, I listened to the whole thing and decided I want to be a real estate investor. My goodness, you know, why would I want to work? You know, of course, it's a lot more work.
Right. Well, it is a lot of work. It's, you know, we're going to talk about passive income, but it is, you know, there is work in order to make yourself, you know, not have to work.
Let's be honest. I mean, it's active involvement to build something passive, right?
Right.
For the most part, yeah. And so it started, that's how I started in real estate. I came to Michigan. My company at the time had moved about 15,000 people into Metro Detroit. There was nowhere to live. We were all in hotels and motels. And bingo, I was like, ding, ling, ling. Okay, there's opportunity here. Something's going on, right? There's a need for housing. And so I bought my first rental property and which was my primary residence. I had two extra bedrooms. I rented it to two women in the hotel and they paid my entire mortgage payment. I thought, and man, I'm smart, you know, wow. I was 21 years old, right? I was like, woo. And that was the start of it. And then I thought, gosh, I could do this again and again and again. And I really had no money. I didn't. I only made $10 an hour at my company.
How'd you get a mortgage on that property? How did you swing that?
Well, you know, that was back when you didn't have to verify anything. So I actually took my a cash advance for my credit card, put that in my checking account. Didn't have to be seasoned back then. And that was my down payment. Wow. I had nothing. I mean, I really had nothing. And so that's, you know, when I used to speak and teach everyone around the country about, you know, this lease option and creative seller financing stuff. And I would carry with me these credit cards that went from like one side of the room to the other, about 50 feet long. And show people that they were in these like little photo albums. I taped them all together, you know, those little things that you used to put in your wallet. And,
right.
And kind of show people that, you know, this is how I got started because I didn't have any money. And that's not what I teach. I don't teach to use debt or anything. I actually teach completely the opposite. But that's how I got started because I didn't know about, you know, some of the creative ways to buy real estate when I first got started.
So that first house, so that first rental property, you were living in it. Describe the house. Was it single family?
Yep, single family. It was a 3-bedroom home that I actually bought for myself because I was renting an apartment. And I couldn't get an apartment. It was on a wait list. So I thought, well, gosh, I'll just, you know, check out these properties, like this course that my mom had given me. And I had gone to an investor group and someone said, why don't you just use your credit card? So that's how I ended up buying one. And it was, and you know, back then it was in the '80s, right? So it was 10% interest on that mortgage. And I was still able, with my principal interest, taxes and insurance, my two roommates covered the entire mortgage, which was really cool. So that was kind of how it got started. It was kind of like, wow, now I have a free place. So now I have this extra income. And even they even had cash flow, which paid my credit card payment, by the way, too. I didn't say that, but the extra that they paid. And so I really had, you know, no payments. So then I just started, you know, going with that little model and kind of took it to the nth degree, I guess you would say.
Wow. Wow. So when you were looking at this thinking, okay, I'm 21 years old, I have a house. And I mean, a lot of people got into trouble during that time, right? You didn't have to have any income and verification, no job, ninja loans, right? No income, no job. Yeah. And you could still get a loan. So you were smart. You had someone covering your mortgage. Describe the mortgage. Was it like a 30-year mortgage?
It was like a 30-year mortgage. It's just that interest rates in the 80s were double digits, right?
Right.
And there wasn't this 5%, 4%, 3% type of mortgage program back then. And it was, I don't remember if it was stated or a full doc loan, but I can tell you this, Clayton, that I never showed a tax return until probably the last 5 years or whenever the market changed, right? I mean, you know, of course, when the market tanked after 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. And then I was doing a lot of investment properties that were under 50 grand. You couldn't get any mortgages for that. You either had cash or you had private money. But I up until recently, I mean, literally right before this call, I just was doing a business line of credit with us because I've got a lot of little projects going on right now. And I just signed for a business line of credit. And that was one of the first times that, and maybe a couple other times, that I've had to actually prove my income. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, because most people, I mean, this is really thinking outside the box, because most people think they have to go down these traditional rabbit holes in order to create wealth, and you really don't.
No. Obviously, if you can and do, then that may expedite certain things, but you absolutely do not. It's creative thinking that is what I think really can power you to get to a totally different level. Yeah. In this business. I mean, that I think it's almost better to start broke in this business because you have to learn creative things, and you have to stretch yourself in different ways that you, if you have money, you know, they're just like I have this lady in my office right now. I just keep seeing these closings for her, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 100,000. Like, dang, she's going to run out of money soon, but they got a lot of money. But you could be sloppy when you have cash.
Right.
And you know, it's totally different than when you don't.
Well, I talked about this in episode 256 of the podcast, how I went through foreclosure, had my credit destroyed. I was a news anchor at Fox News at the time, on the number one show in the world, in the number one network in the world in Manhattan, and couldn't even buy coffee, you know, and couldn't even, you know, I came upstairs and found out that my account was frozen. And over the next few years, because of all of that, I had to get incredibly creative with how I was able to start buying real estate. I couldn't go to the bank. And you're right about that. I really think that was a tremendously helpful that I had to do it that way. It taught me quite a bit about how to make all this stuff work.
Yeah. The downturn for me too was very similar. If I weren't speaking and having other multiple streams of income, I absolutely would have lost our house too. I mean, just because that's the way it was, right? I mean, everything that I had was just drying up. I mean, I had properties that went from $150,000 down to 20, you know, in value here in Michigan.
Wow. And did you hang on to them at the time, or did you fire sale them?
We fire sold some of them, and some of them we hung on to, and some of them we had to pay to get rid of, you know, like, and some of them we were able to short sell back then. You know, it was a bad time for a lot of people, but the best thing ever for me.
Right.
You know, the best thing, because then it was like, okay, now I got to restart and think about, like, how do you really build this wealth? You know, if you know how to build wealth, you can do it anytime, anywhere, and start all over with nothing. And people could take away everything today and we could start all over. Right.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? Once you're in business, once you understand the mechanics of it, if someone just said, hey, we're going to take everything from you, you can start over. And that's incredibly important. I hope our audience is paying attention to that. You know, if people have gone through dark times and had issues with properties and so forth, and and had to sell off a property or two, you know, you can start over. And look, Wendy went through it, right? And she was able to, she kept some of them. She was able to reposition others and she's bounced back. How many properties do you hold now?
We only have about 30 now total. And by choice, really, we've, as a matter of fact, we're selling a few of them this year. You know, strategically, we think, you know, let's take the top ones and sell some of those and take the cash and either a hard money lend it or keep it for some other opportunities that are coming.
Today's episode is brought to you by Purple Mattresses. Let me ask you a question. Did you spend the night tossing and turning last night? I know I did. I've been waking up with a stiff neck lately and back pain. Not my low back so much, but man, up around my neck and shoulders. Holy smokes. It's, you know, my kids want to play. I turn one way and I'm like in pain. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, I didn't do anything. I didn't lift anything weird. It's just I slept badly on a bad mattress. So that's where Purple Mattresses comes in. Purple Mattress will probably feel different than anything you've ever experienced before because it uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. And it was not like the memory foam that I'm used to. You know, he used to sleeping on that memory foam and it's super hot also. That's annoying part because my wife will not let me turn up the air conditioning super high. And so she sneaks over in the middle of the night and turns it down. And so the memory foam just makes me super hot. So the Purple Mattress feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus it's breathable. So it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you the zero gravity feeling. So it works for any sleeping position. So if you're tossing and turning, you're a side sleeper, you're a back sleeper, you're a stomach sleeper, it doesn't matter. And what's great about Purple Mattress is they're going to give you a 100-night risk-free trial. And if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. They have a 10-year warranty on it too. Free shipping and free returns. And they'll even do free in-home setup. And they'll take care of your old mattress and get rid of it. So you're going to love Purple Mattresses. And right now, our listeners will get free sheets and a free mattress protector and with your mattress purchase. That's fantastic. So you get a free sheet set and a free mattress protector that goes over top of it. All you need to do is go to purple.com/investing. So the website address, you have to use the word investing, purple.com/investing. That's purple.com/investing. And you're on your way to a better night's sleep. Thanks, Purple. Good stuff. So you mentioned, we talked about the down point there and having to go through some of those hard points. And you said, okay, if you understand how to do this, you can rebuild it from everything. So let's pretend our audience right now, they've got nothing. They're starting from scratch. And you were going to give them advice on how to start building passive income from scratch. What would that look like?
Well, I always say that, first of all, of course, everything's one day at a time, right? We, you know, it's a process of, you know, getting started in one thing. So get good at something. Okay, whatever it is. For me, I got really good at buying properties creatively on lease options, which led me to be able to teach people how to do that, which led me to be able to sell courses on that and write books on that that got published. And then it led me to being interviewed by, you know, Gary Keller, who owns Keller Williams, to be in his book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And so it starts leading to all these things, right? So start with one thing. Get really good at it, and then figure out how that business has other aspects of it, right? And that's for me, Clayton, that's how I've done it. I don't know how you and Natalie have done it, but that's for me, it's you find the one thing like this podcast. How do you, you know, do something with, say, a podcast, and what does that mean? Like, what other businesses can be started from that, related to that? So I don't start like, I'm not gonna go open a coffee shop right now because it's not related to what I'm good at.
Right. Keep focused on that. That's so important. I've struggled with, you know, and I've talked about this on the show many times, but shiny object syndrome over the years. And, you know, when I got focused on, you know, buying single family residential properties and all of the, you know, all of the things that go into that and helping other people do it, you know, my wife and I have written a book on that part of it as well, how to use home equity lines of credit in order to do different things. You know, we've done, it's all centered around that one core topic is buying and holding residential real estate. And you're right. When you start going off in different directions, something suffers. You can't then remain focused on your core competency.
Yep. And I think that's the biggest issue with entrepreneurs is like, we are so squirrel, squirrel, you know, and I'm no different. You know, I'm a business person. I'm a little of that. And I get tempted easily, but as I've gotten older, it's been easier for me to say, no, Wendy, stay the course. You've got more juice to squeeze from what you've already got, and you better keep the course, because it's so easy. And, you know, when you start getting scattered, it's like taking your hand, you know, and you stretch it out, you know, like put all five fingers out, and it's hard to hit a punch, you know, with your hand stretched out like that. Right. But when you put it together in a fist, boom, you got it. So you got to like pull those in, and they've all got to be, you know, tied together so you can really go at it strong.
So let's be honest and let's get real here, because not everyone's going to do maybe what you and I have done, which is, you know, write a book and build sort of that whole right. business around that, you know, speaking engagements and other things that we've, you know, we do in conferences. So you've written a book, you know, Investing in Real Estate with Lease Options and Subject to Deals. And of course, we'll have links to all of your books on our show notes page. But if someone's sitting there saying, well, look, I work the 9 to 5 right now, and I, you know, drive the 2 hours to and from work. I want to spend more time with my kids. I don't want to start an entirely new sort of entrepreneurial business. I want to buy real estate, but I want to also create passive income, and I want to do it the right way. How can we walk through that? I mean, buying real estate, you want to set up businesses. So in a way, you don't have to be writing books, but you're structuring businesses in such a way that also you're playing the tax code properly. You're also creating wealth that way, are you not?
Yeah, yeah. And as a matter of fact, it becomes more tax breaks and things sometimes feel like, at least for me now, I'm like, how come I can't get any tax breaks, you know, because right. I own businesses. It's like you can't just, once you own businesses, the tax breaks are a little bit different, right? Then when on the real estate aspect, you know, you can depreciate, and there's some really great tax breaks from those. Where do you want me to go with it? Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah. So let's talk to the person who is not going to be speaking in front of 10,000 people like Tony Robbins at a big conference, who's not going to start a podcast, who's not going to write books, but does want to be a business owner in the sort of traditional sense of maybe perhaps owning LLCs in real estate, being savvy with their investments and creating passive income that way. What would be some of the first steps that you would talk to those people about?
Got it. Well, I would say that if someone is working a full-time job, if they love it, first of all, if you love your job, you're blessed, stick with it. Okay. But you're obviously listening to this because you're looking for something additional and more. And you can take those hours of when you're driving, I mean, even in the shower this morning, I'm listening to an ebook. I put it on my, you know, Audible, right?
Right.
So I can hear things. I'm always trying to use those times when it's not going to impact my family time, right? So if I'm going to spend time with my husband, then I want to spend focused time with him. And in the shower or on the drive, I'm listening to a book or trying to educate myself on a podcast like yours.
Right. And be around one, like be specific around a topic, right? You're not studying Roman architecture 1 minute and then stick to what you focus on lease options, right? So find the thing you're passionate about and go for it.
And then just really dig in. And if it happens to be lease options, you know, you get a course like mine, of course, so I'm going to recommend that one, but you get a course and you just dig in and you become really good at that. Okay. You get really good at that. And then maybe you start using it to buy commercial properties, or if that's something that you have a desire in, or apartment buildings, if that's your desire, but you get really, really good at options and structuring those deals. Then maybe you add some other type of investing strategy. Or you start buying properties to hold long-term for your passive income. But I mean, that's to me, like those rental properties, I have, my husband and I have a couple of mortgages. That's it. I mean, the rest, they're free and clear.
Right.
But, you know, I'm older than maybe some of your audience right now, right? I don't want any kind of stress of any market ever changing. I'm conservative, but also aggressive, if that makes sense. I'm careful, but I do take risk. When I was 20, 30 years old, I took a lot of risk. You know, I didn't have anything to lose. I had nothing. I mean, what were you going to take away from me? I didn't have anything, right? I had zero assets.
Right.
Negative when I first started, right? Zero. So there wasn't as much risk, and I was willing to go for it. Now as I've gotten older, I've been a little bit more conservative. So think about where you are in your life and say, you know, how am I going to get to that next level? How much can you risk versus, you know, how much you can't risk? I mean, if you don't have anything, you have to take a risk. You have to make something happen for you and your family, right? So that might be like buying that first rental property. Maybe it's buying it creatively, like with a lease option, because you have no money. Get it going, get some cash flow.
Right. So many people sit on the sidelines and just take forever. Or they, you know, because they take what you're recommending here, which is the learning, right? They're in the shower, they're listening to this book, they're listening to that, but they never stop learning and they never take action. They become like the academic at a university and they never actually, you know, most professors make very little money, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I, you can't pay me enough to be one, right? Because, right. You know, if I want to go teach, I'm going to go teach for free now, right? Because I don't want to have to like answer to someone and follow those rules. But you're right. That analysis paralysis, right? Get something and just take action. And if you're not sure, get a coach. I mean, a lot of times, like example, in my group in Michigan, the investors group, I run the Michigan Real Estate Investors Group. You know, we have a coaching program. It's almost free. And they just split the deals with the coaches, right? The coaches help them through deals and walk them through it, help them find the money. They help them find the deal. They help them, you know, find contractors, all those things. Find someone like that, right? Probably in your local investor group, they might have someone like that, a mentor, someone that doesn't matter. Give them all the money. I mean, just let them follow them around, you know, go do a deal with them. Or if you do have the money, then a lot of times you can do a deal with someone else who will help you with it. Maybe you just pay them for consulting fee or something. So it just kind of depends on where you are in the spectrum. If you have no money, get in a program that you could split the deals with someone and they'll help you through them. That's one of my biggest recommendations, right? Is that mentor coach. I mean, I have a couple coaches that coach me right now in my life, right? I mean, you have to have that some person that's helping you become better at whatever it is you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Fine. And not having eight mentors, you know, the key to my, you know, I had one mentor who taught me sort of the basics and foundations of like wholesaling real estate. And that was everything for me, just focusing on that and moving in that direction, but not having, I want to learn mobile home park investing now, and I'm going to do billboard investing. And I mean, I'm going to do eight different mentors, and they're all, and you'll find that eight different mentors, guess what, are going to contradict each other.
Yeah. Just get one. And start with one and get good at one thing. And here's the thing. Stop watching all the dang webinars then. When you decide that you want to be a wholesaler and you buy a wholesale course, shut down the rest of them.
Yes, 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 yes. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Students will come to me. I haven't done a deal yet, but I've spent $50,000 on education. Stop it. Right. Just do something. Get rid of, stop buying all those things. Just buy one or two and just get good at them. They all actually are all probably pretty good and they all work. It doesn't matter which direction you pick. Just pick one.
Right. Find one that speaks to you. You know, there might be another, you know, real estate podcast you listen to out there. Maybe you can't stand me. That's fine. Maybe there's another lease options book out there. You don't like how Wendy's written her book. Fine. Go find somebody else. You know, not everyone speaks to everyone and we can't please everyone all the time, you know?
Right. And you can find out who's a legit and who's reputable and who's, you know, in the business and knows it and who's done a lot of deals and that kind of thing. So just kind of research it a little bit, but pick something and go for it and then turn everything else off. I mean, that's so important. And you're right. Like then you're not maybe reading the books on, you know, archaeology or something, you know, you're focused on the niche that's going to get you to where you want to go. You've got to, I have been reading a few business books like The Crushing It and that kind of thing with Gary Vee's book. But it's all about just putting that effort in. And the 10X rule, I just finished that one. You know, but it's about taking right. that extra effort to the next level. If you really want it bad enough, you want to quit your job or you want to have extra passive income, got to step it up to that next level to start with.
I love that. And speaking of books, I'll just throw this in here as an aside. I just finished reading Cal Newport's great book called Deep Work. And he makes a fantastic argument that, you know, companies don't reward deep work, that they'd rather almost, in fact, Yahoo has suffered from this. They would rather see you almost doing busy work than actual real deep work, where you shut everything off, ignore everyone, and spend 2 hours knee deep in a real, you know, a course, not taking text messages, don't have Facebook open in a sidebar on your screen. Shut everything off and focus on that one task. Doing deep work can be incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's got to be that way, especially if your time is really limited. You're going to have to be like so focused on, you know, what it is you're trying to go after. And thank you for mentioning the social media stuff. I'm a big social media user. I do use it, but I have someone who helps me use it as well. Right.
Right.
And that's part of that passive thing is you can't do it all. It's such a distraction. And I noticed that with a lot of people that they're just so distracted by the, you know, oh, I got to post or I got to look at, I don't even have any of that stuff. I don't, that messenger thing. Mm-hmm. If anyone messages me on Facebook, I mean, if I'm logged in, I'll see it, but I'm not going to see it beep up on my phone.
Right. I have a team that deals with that. I really try to shut down as much as I can. I don't even hardly use email anymore. And I just try to go to the coffee shop and do the deep work and try to work on, you know, writing the next book, writing the next program that we're working on and helping people build, you know, passive income. So speaking of passive income, so we've got the learning down, we've got the taking action, finding that mentor and moving in that direction. You know, do you have, when you say, okay, this is the type of property you should buy, do you have a mantra around that, or is it kind of really up to the person and what fits their lifestyle, what fits their needs and wants?
Yeah. And I think it does kind of depend on where you live and where you want to invest. I mean, I personally haven't found any better return on investment than Michigan anywhere in the country.
I love it. Yeah.
Cash return. There isn't. When the downturn hit, it was the best. And I think it's still the best. Which is why we have people all over the world trying to invest here, right? But you got to have that right property manager, right? You got to have that person that you trust, because if you're going to invest out of state, it's hard to find that. So be cautious on that anywhere. But find a property that's going to cash flow, that's going to be a good return on investment for you, so that that income can go towards, and I wouldn't spend a dime of it. All of it should be saved to buy the next one. And it's got to be a hard focus, you know, if you don't have the cash to do it, you know, keeping that as a business and learning how to run it as a business is huge. And then getting someone to do it for you. I don't manage any of my properties. Okay. I have a property manager, that she takes it right off the top, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to know if toilet's leaking anymore. Now I did it before. Okay. Remember when I started, I did it all because it was active. I had to actively participate. I couldn't afford to have a property manager take part of the rent. I needed that extra 10% or whatever it is, to be able to build up cash flow. Well, over time, now that becomes passive, right? Now when I don't have to deal with that at all, I don't know my tenants' names. I would never know if I met them in a grocery store anymore. I wouldn't know them, right? But before I would have been in that active role. So that can become a very passive, good business. And then once you get those going and they're paid off and paid down, I'm personally into that. I'm not into a big leverage type of philosophy anymore. I mean, when you're starting out, you may need to leverage a little bit more, meaning could I have a lot more than 30 properties? Oh, heck yeah. But I'd rather have 30 paid off than 300 with mortgages.
Right. And one of the things we talk about here, and people can download it for free, you know, is our freedom cheat sheet just on our website at morrisinvest.com. Or ClaytonMorris.com. We've got it there. It's a few pages. It's a PDF, and it kind of helps you figure out what your freedom number will look like. And, you know, people ask me all the time, like, well, where do you go from here? Like, you've reached financial freedom, so you've got 30 properties, and I kind of ask you the same question. You could, you know, buy 10 more. You could be up to 50. You could be at 60. You could go to 70. You could go to 80. But at what point is enough enough? And where do you go from here? You know, do you just stop? Do you have a number that you hit and you just said, you know what, 30 is enough? And how should people kind of, because you've got to have a goal. You've got to put it on your refrigerator. You've got to put it up on your whiteboard. You've got to see that 30 in your head to reach it. You can't just have an arbitrary idea. So why was 30 enough for you?
Well, I've had up to 175 at one time before. So I've had a lot before.
Yeah.
And when I met my husband, he's like, why do you have 175 houses? And I said, you know, and he goes, you have more houses than shoes. And I said, you're right. I need to go shopping. it just, you know, I think it was more chaotic then for me. And I got to a point where I felt like 30 was about, I mean, it's, you know, plus or minus. If I found a good one right now, I'd buy it. Most of mine now I'm buying it through my IRA. So I'm buying them on my retirement account. I don't really want any more. It sounds really weird. I don't need any more income outside of my retirement account. Okay. If I find a good deal, I want to throw it right into my IRA and let the IRA own those rental properties. So those will build up for my retirement one day. Right. But so 30 is enough. I mean, how much do you need to live on? Right. You got to decide. you said, how much do you need to live on? Okay, I could quit today. I have multiple businesses, but just my rental properties net about 20, maybe 20 grand a month. Okay, net after all expenses, all management, all that, right? So is that enough to live on? Yeah, for most people, that's enough to live on, right? It is for me too.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, we take that money, but we don't live on it. We take that money and we invest. And either after a couple months, I can buy another one, or after a couple months, I can lend it to somebody else at a good interest rate. That becomes, that's where that passive income, it starts to build, where that passive income can create other passive income. So I can take that 20 grand a month, that's about 250,000 a year. That's, you know, cash. And then I can lend that at about 15% interest, you know, for hard money loans, which becomes passive also.
Right.
So now, you know, you kind of get these rolling into other things, or you can buy a business with them that becomes passive.
Right. So this is the key point here. I want to hope everyone's paying attention that it's not just about the real estate. It's what the real estate can do for you with that cash flow. And again, what we're always talking about is this cash flow. So even if you're not bringing in 20,000 a month, but maybe you're bringing in 5,000 a month, right? And then after a few months, after 4 months, you've got, you know, nearly $20,000-$25,000 in the bank that you can then, you're not touching it. You can either choose to purchase another property, or you could lend out that 20,000, you know, as a hard money loan to somebody, like when he's talking about 10, 12, 15% interest, and do it for a short amount of time. You could do it for 6 months, a year, for somebody who wants to flip a property, right? You could take first position on that note for that person who's rehabbing that property, or you could take a nice position on that property as someone's being, you know, doing a rehab, and you're leveraging that cash flow in multiple ways. And then, yeah, you could pull a Walter White from Breaking Bad and buy yourself a car wash, you know, and like go that direction too, right? Then you get that passive income, and then you get that great tax shelter as owning a business, right?
Right, right. Well, and you think about that. So the 250, then if I'm lending it at 15%, it's almost 400 grand.
Right. Wow.
Instead, you know, and then you have it working that way, and it's still secured by other mortgages. You're right. And then you have 400 grand. So what do you do with the 400? You know what I mean? And that's just one little aspect of where my business is, right? So that then you got 400, then you can what? You can buy, like you said, buy a car wash or buy whatever, you know. It's not a car wash for me because, you know, again, that would be a distraction for me, I think, a little bit. But it would be maybe we bought a couple commercial buildings in the last few years, you know, just to diversify some of the real estate portfolio. But all my stuff is really real estate related, right? I own a Keller Williams office. I own a title company. You know, all those things tie together, right? That cash gives you that money to then buy the next thing.
Yeah.
And then that gives you more cash to buy the next thing and the next thing. And that, you know, it's a snowball effect, right? Where you take your passive income and it starts little. It might be $100 a month. Then it's 200 a month. Then it's 400, 500, 1,000, you know. And then, you know, mine are not all just that too, but business ownership. I mean, I also, you know, have other passive income streams of businesses that, you know, have you ever done any multi-level marketing?
Yeah. In fact, I grew up in a family that did it. You know, we had Amway and, you know, all of that growing up. My parents did that stuff, you know. Fortunate You, I think, was one of them. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have, we started one years and years ago. It was prepaid legal at the time.
Oh, yeah.
But it tied to my investing seminars. So all my, because it's such a great product for investors, right? So I used to sell it when I did seminars. And so it didn't take me any extra time. Again, it was an extra stream of income that was passive that while I was already speaking, I took 15 minutes to say, boom, this is what you should have, which I still believe in it. And we still technically could sell it, but I just don't have the audience anymore because I don't go around speaking. But that product, we made almost $1 million on that. We figured out the other day, we're over 900,000 right on it. And we haven't even sold a policy for maybe a few months, you know, or maybe someone hit my website or something and bought it. But again, that was one that tied in with what I was already doing. It wasn't Amway because Amway didn't tie into real estate, but the legal aspect did tie into it. I knew my students needed this legal help, right? And it tied into there. And then, you know, I started the Michigan Real Estate Investors Group. So then there's passive income on that, right? Where I've got members that keep, you know, renewing year after year after year. So you can build whatever it is you want or whatever level you want.
Yeah. And thinking strategically about it, that's the key, but keeping focused around your one core element, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, prepaid legal, like my dad is a prepaid legal, person. And, I certainly have a prepaid legal membership as a result. And so that's amazing. Well, I could talk passive income and forever. And I love the idea of breaking it across that way and being able to leverage that cash flow in different ways. It's not something we've really talked about here on the show before. We think about cash flow, you put it in the bank, you save it, maybe buy another rental property, but using that cash flow to lend it out, using that cash flow to buy businesses, not necessarily more properties, and kind of spreading it across, diversifying. It's wonderful.
Yeah, multiple streams of income and more passive income and a little bit of diversification, but they're tied together, right? You got to think about how you can tie them together. What else relates to it?
Okay? I love it. So I wanted to have Wendy back on the show. I think if I can twist your arm to do this, to come back on the show, we'll dive deep into the strategy around using little or no money in order to buy real estate. Would you mind coming back on the show here in a few weeks to talk about that?
Would love it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we'll have Wendy back on. We'll talk about subject twos, lease options, contract for deed. If you're interested in that, you got to stick around. We'll have Wendy back on the show to talk about that. But in the meantime, we had a discussion today about passive income. And Wendy, where can people connect with you? And again, we'll have links to everything on our show notes page. But where can people connect and find out more about what you're working on?
Awesome. Well, you can always go to my website, wendypatton.com. And my office phone number's there. My email is wendy@wendypatton.com. And would love to have you guys connect that way. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. It's been a real treat having you here on the show.
Thanks, Clayton. You have a great day.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and pushing us over the 10 million mark for downloads. We really appreciate that. Thanks. And wow, over the past month, like our numbers have just gone up crazy. So thank you kindly for your wonderful reviews. And thank you for listening and pushing us up very, very high. We really appreciate that. And please share this episode with someone you think would, you know, need a little push. Like Wendy had a lot of great strategies and tactics for kind of getting off the couch and starting to make things happen in your life. So share this with a loved one that you know could, and do it subtly. It's like, hey, brother-in-law, I know you're still working at Starbucks, but hey, maybe want to listen to this podcast. It could really be the push that you need. We publish this show 3 times a week. We'll be back here once again with another episode on Monday of the Investing in Real Estate show. Have a great weekend, everyone.